Well, one thing I like is that it's not Memorial Day, it's not Veterans Day, but we're still going to talk about veterans today, because we should think about veterans not just a couple times out of the year or when other people tell us to do so. And it's a pleasure to celebrate a project today that was started quite some time ago and is still living on. It's called Hampton Veterans Remember. And it's a project that features a book as well as a pretty elaborate website. When I say it was started quite a long time ago, it's only a couple years, but it continues on. And we have a number of special guests with us today. Two are students, Mary Pat Taylor and Lauren Bayaki, and they are students at Hampton High School. Mary Lou Elena Wygonik is their teacher. And we also have two veterans, Mr. Ed Ferketic of the Korean War era and Sam Alt of the Vietnam War era. We're going to talk about this whole project, this half hour. I'm first going to turn to Mary Lou and just get a sense of how and why this came about. Here you've got a chance to do something very different. Not a lot of schools that actually publish a book, and it's a beautiful book, by the way. It's professionally bound, probably about 200 pages, good guess, 176 to be exact. How did the project come about, Mary Lou?
Well, it's really a multifaceted project. Tom Brokaw's book, The Greatest Generation Lives, inspired me to really start thinking about veterans. My own father was a World War II veteran, as was my uncle. My grandfather was a World War I veteran. And I know they took great pride in serving their country. At Hampton, the Social Studies Department has also spent a lot of time with oral histories of veterans. And I think what was alarming was the fact that when I first thought of this project, World War II veterans were dying at the rate of about 1,800 men per day. And it became imperative to really capture the stories of these people. We all know the facts of the war, but these were the stories of the people. And that was the birth of the book. But as all projects, it reinvented itself and kind of morphed into a tribute to all veterans that had some type of Hampton connection. A lot of the veterans were residents of Hampton. Some, however, were grandparents and relatives of the students. We even had a bus driver and the spouse of one of the cafeteria ladies who came forward and wanted to tell their stories. And again, we were interested not so much in the facts, although there are facts in the book, so that we place each war in a historical context. But we were thinking about the people. And this also went hand in hand with Hampton's war memorial. When the community center was established, the Veterans Memorial was moved from various sites throughout Hampton to one location by the community center. And we are really honoring all of the people. In fact, the last Memorial Day, just recently, we had a crowd of over 1,000 people as names were added to the Korean War and the Vietnam War list. So it's really in a spirit of appreciation and in a spirit of commemoration that this book was started. And it was also interesting to pair the students with the veterans, and that was our attempt.
I was just smiling. I see a picture of Sam Alt in here in the book on page 127, half-clothed, holding a missile, I think. Or what are you holding in this picture? This is, you've probably seen this picture a million times, Sam.
I was in it.
Yeah.
No, that's a 4.2-inch mortar round. That's a 42-pound high-explosive round.
And it's nice to meet. May I call you Sam?
Please.
And can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yes. I graduated from Penn State and in 1968. And 4 months later, I was drafted into the Army, 4 days after I'd been married.
Wow.
and came back a year and a half later.
So you were drafted in 68.
I was drafted in early 1969.
That's
February of 69.
Gosh, 4 days after being married, and when did you have to report?
4 days.
Oh, wow. I can't imagine a life being upturned like that. Do you remember your thoughts? Did you think it was inevitable that you were going to be called up, or...
Well, I knew I was going to be drafted. That was the times. You couldn't get a job then because you were draft eligible, and I'd been dating my college sweetheart for several years, and we, honestly, I didn't think I was coming home, so we got married.
Mm. And you went off to Vietnam, and I'm seeing here Myrna is your wife. Is Myrna out there?
No, she's not.
Okay. And I see we have a couple women. I don't know if I haven't had a chance to meet everybody yet. Are you with any of our folks here? Yes, they're smiling.
I went to Vietnam the day they landed on the moon. We were flying over the Pacific when the pilot came on and said, they landed on the moon. And 168 guys said, who cares?
You know, it's interesting because I can remember that day in August when Neil Armstrong, you know, landed. And as a kid, I should have had knowledge of what was happening in Vietnam, and I knew nothing about it. I mean, I was old enough to have that taught to me in school, but I knew nothing about it whatsoever. It wasn't even on my radar at that time.
Well, it was a different sort of times, and quite honestly, most people didn't even know where it was. Most people didn't understand it, and half the country was opposed to those who went.
Mm-hmm.
Which I never fully understood why.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that a little bit more, too. Let's meet our other veteran while we're talking along these lines. And he's Ed Furketic, who is a veteran of the Korean War. May I call you Ed?
Yes, you may.
And thank you both. I salute you for your service to our country. Ed, can you tell us your story?
I had a similar experience with getting married. I was married on the weekend going to school up at Great Lakes. The arrangements were set for the 15th of May, which happened to be Armed Forces Day. And there's nobody leaving the base on Armed Forces Day. So I was able to get the weekend off. I was married on Saturday, and I had to be back on the base at Sunday night.
There's probably a bit of a military tradition, sort of, as I think about it. My dad, who is a Korean War era veteran, he did not go over, but his and my mom's wedding was expedited, if you will, owing to the military. They ended up getting married. They'd planned on getting married in June, but he got married. They got married in February because he was shipping to Columbia, South Carolina, if my memory is right. So that's probably a common occurrence.
It's not unusual.
Yeah.
We didn't expect to come back.
Wow. Let's meet our final two people that are here in the studio with us. Mary Pat Taylor, hello.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Tell me about yourself. What year are you in?
I'm going to be a senior next year at Hampton High School.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what was your involvement with this project?
I unfortunately didn't get to be with the group the entire time they were doing it. I came in towards the end, so I helped a lot with the editing process and compiling everything into what it is now with the photographs and all the fun facts in it, in addition to helping edit the stories that are in it.
We're talking about Hampton Veterans Remember, a book and website put together by students and their teacher, and most importantly, veterans focused at Hampton High School, putting together the book. Before I forget, do you want to say hello to anybody who might be listening?
Sure, I'll say hello to my dad, Tim, and my grandma.
Very good. And let's turn to Lauren Biyaki, who's sitting next to you. Hello.
Hello.
And Lauren, what was your role in the publication?
I actually just graduated as well, which is kind of exciting. But my role started my freshman year, so this was a four-year process for me. In the beginning, it was definitely why I interviewed Merle Adams, who couldn't be here today, and I also interviewed my grandfather, Martin Biocchi, which was really exciting.
Merle is a World War II era veteran?
Yes.
So, wow. And your grandfather?
My grandfather is also a World War II veteran.
And continue, please.
So, that was really exciting. I got to hear my grandfather's story, which I really hadn't heard much of, so that was awesome. And Merle Adams was a delight to interview. That was my freshman year, so I was definitely a little nervous about interviewing someone who's had so much experience in, what they do, and just hearing their, reverent stories was absolutely awe-inspiring. And then after that, I was really involved in the compiling and editing process of each one of their stories, which that we then brought all together to create this awesome book. And it was an amazing process that I'm very, very glad I was involved in.
What do you think would surprise people? I'm turning to our two vets. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about military life and perhaps related to Vietnam or Korea, but maybe just in general regarding service in the military. Do you think there are things that the vast general public has wrong when they think about it? Or I should say, not wrong, but maybe just an impression that should be corrected.
You must remember that most of us were younger when we had brothers and uncles that had served in the Second World War. So when they came back, they had stories, some to tell, some not to tell. So we had a little bit of an insight to what we were going to face.
So it was sort of an expected thing.
It was natural. You knew you were expected. Your family expected you to answer the call.
And that's something, I suppose, in some so-called military families, that tradition exists, but certainly because of no draft, not like it was in your era, right?
I think it was something that the families expected you to do. You came to this country. The country supplied you with the opportunities to succeed. And it was just as though you were paying back.
Interesting. And that the voice you just heard was of Sam. Ed, would you add anything to that?
That was Ed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ed, Sam, I've got you mixed up. They're both wearing green today.
Of course. No, the times that changed between when Ed served in the military and when I served in the military, our war was very much opposed by the general public. People didn't understand why we were there. The men and the women that were called upon to serve, duty, honor, and country is the motto of the Army, and for the most part, that was how we lived our lives. But we went because we were called upon to go, and when we came back, we were not treated well. We came back not as a unit, but we came back as individuals. You got off in an airport and you walked away alone. Nobody knew you were there or what you were doing, and it was a very poor reception. Most guys took their uniforms off as fast as they could.
Oh, it was horrible. I mean, men were spit upon, were shouted at. The accounts of that.
I had relatives I don't talk to this day.
I actually, somewhat ironically, spent a good bit of time this week listening to oral histories of Vietnam vets that we just collected here at SLB. We do a lot of oral history work. And one gentleman that I was listening to yesterday, his sense was that the war is explained to him when he was in country. Things were much different. I guess he felt that the information, the set of the context he had was much different, and his understanding of what mission was and purpose was much different. And then when he got back, I don't want to say he felt like he had been lied to or misled. That's not at all what I mean. But he just noted that there was a whole different context that the war was being looked in. Did you feel any of that? Because I think it depends on when you were in and what you were doing. But he felt very strongly about that.
Well, where I was on the DMZ, and we weren't we didn't spend time with the citizens of the country. We didn't go into the towns. We straddled the North Vietnamese border. It was like being at the Alamo. And our war was really to take care of each other, and that's what we did. You had their back, they had yours, and our object was to come home. That was our goal. It wasn't a political goal.
We turned to our did you want to add something, please?
It was a different time. We all shared different times. We were expected to go. My two brothers were 17 years old when he went in. One was in the Navy. He went to England to set up the basis for the invasion. My other brother graduated from high school. The next day, he was going to Merchant Marine School. And it was obvious when my time came, my time was there to serve. 4 years in the Navy, 3 different ships, 2 destroyers and a minesweeper. It was an awesome experience, one that I treasure, one that I wouldn't offer anybody else to take. My brother once said, war will be ended when it becomes too expensive to do. I don't think we've reached that point yet.
No, and I always figure, do you think we would think differently about war today if there were a draft in terms of how quick we might be to go to combat?
I think the draftee brings a different ideology to war. He really doesn't want to be there. Mostly, there's a percentage of people who do. And it's sort of like your Republicans and Democrats. You have two different forces. And when you put them both together, you're both doing the job, but you kind of keep each other in line. I think that's the good part.
Yeah, there are times I wonder if for lack of a better term, if we all had a little skin in the game, so to speak, if people would not be so quick to shoot their mouth off and say, we need to go to war and send people over to fight this particular person, because when it's equity and hopefully equity with sons and probably daughters throughout the entire community, as it was for both of you, for young men, suddenly there's a little more awareness of what war actually can mean and what military service can mean. I'm beyond draft age, but I sometimes think a draft wouldn't be such a bad thing, so people would think a little bit more about those actions.
Well, I thought it was interesting in Vietnam. We never lost a battle. We never lost the territory we took and wanted to keep, and yet everybody thinks we lost the war. And it wasn't until we left that the South Vietnamese lost the war. They were overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's funny. I've never thought about it. What a horrible feeling to come back and have people feel like you didn't do a good job despite that record. That I just can't imagine reconciling that over the years and what you do.
We know what we did.
Yeah. Yeah, at the end of the day, that's right. You know the truth. I'm curious, turning it over back to Mary Pat Taylor and Lauren Biaki, tell me a little bit about how this project impacted you in general. Did it change the way you feel about folks who have served our country in this way? Did it bring new insights to you? I mean, you can explain it however you'd like. This our time together has gone so quickly, but I'm curious what you've taken away from the project.
I found that it's when I was a freshman, I didn't know. I mean, I knew that we had a World War I and World War II and the Korean and the Vietnam War, but I never really I never really knew what it was actually about and what other people felt about it. And through reading the stories and listening to what people and what the veterans had to say about it, I felt like I came to a better understanding of how they viewed the war and how we viewed the war and what it means for us now in America. And I think that it showed me the courage that they have and that people who are enlisting now have still. And it's unbelievable how they're able to do that, and they're so courageous, and I'm thankful for it.
Lauren?
I mean, I completely agree. I think it was really interesting, that you brought up the draft, because saying that, like, our generation could possibly, there might be a draft today, it really, I think it showed me that especially my age group and my generation now, we don't have that same perception of war, that constant, like, overhanging pressure of you might be drafted and enlisted. And I think it's shown me that I need to, you know, respect that more. I need to understand that better in order to understand and better understand the war that we're in right now. And I definitely think a lot of people in our generation specifically don't understand it, and they don't understand the pressures and, you know, the grievances and the power that is just associated with something this big. It strikes me, you know, and especially interviewing my grandfather, that was very, very special to hear his story. He was never actually overseas, but he did work in offices right here in the United States. But he still was firsthand war experience, and I definitely have a new respect for him.
Well, I hope both of you have a chance to interview other veterans. You know, it's not hard to do.
Right.
A digital recorder and the techniques that you've learned at Hampton High School. And that was Lauren Biocchi and Mary Pat Taylor. Anything else either of you want to add? I'm going to turn back to our vets in a minute.
Can I just say hi? I'm going to say hi to both my parents, Lisa and Jean Biocchi, and my grandparents, Martin and Catherine Biocchi.
I'm glad you did. I'm sorry I forgot to ask
fine,
you about
fine.
That before.
They're listening right now. So.
And I wanted to ask everybody who's out there, who are those women with that are out there? I mean, one of them's with us, but there's two others. Are they part of the families here?
One is Mrs. Furketic, Anne Marie Furketic, Ed's wife, and Karen Taylor, Mary Pat Taylor's mom.
Ah, okay. And turning back to our vets, again, thank you for your service to our country. You guys dads? Do you have children?
I have two children, a son and a daughter.
Well, happy,
both in their 30s, thank you.
Happy Father's Day to you both.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you wanted to add about the project, or simply while we have a radio platform? I wish we had the whole hour to share with people listening.
I personally would like to thank you for this opportunity. I'm thinking that I'm here to represent the veterans of the Korean War. They called that the Forgotten War. Personally, I'd like to forget war altogether. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And that was Ed Furketic. And, you know, my dad, as I mentioned, is a Korean, he's 83, Korean era war veteran. And it's funny, one thing I wanted to mention to you off the air, I might as well mention you on the air, Navy, right?
And, yes.
You know, I worked for Mine Safety Appliances Company for many years. You know where I'm going.
We use your product.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got involved with the Navy, you know, rebreathers, the May Wests, as they would call them. And
they did work.
I'm not sure I ever really realized how important that work was until just now in meeting you.
It was very important.
I'm not sure I ever understood that context as well as I did until now.
We didn't have the boats to carry us in case a ship went down.
Yeah.
You were dependent on that.
Yeah. These were they would generate oxygen for breathing. Or thank you, sir. Anything else that you wanted to mention, Sam?
I appreciate the fact as I was interviewed for the Hampton book. I was kind of touched by it, actually. Of course, I still think I'm that 22-year-old kid that went over, and now I find out I'm a history project.
Thank you so much for your service. You guys both look great. It's radio, but I have to say something. But you look like you're fit and in great shape. And let's go back to Mary Lou, Elena Wagonik. Now, you've done Polish Hill,
yes.
And you've done there's a great book on Polish Hill that Mary Lou has done, and this book, and you can learn more by going to the Hampton Veterans Remember website. What's new in the works? What's coming up?
Well, probably not another book, but I'm sure that we'll come up with something this year when the After School Writers Club resumes meeting. We had spent a lot of time writing the book. We had the book launch. We've publicized the book. So now we're ready to move on to another project. And I've got a few in the back of my mind, so we'll see what the students are interested in. But I want to thank you again for this opportunity, because we're honoring all of our veterans, everyone who serves, and really commending students who have put so much effort into this project. People have no idea how much time these young men and women put into publishing this book, as well as the Polish Hill Remembered book. You know, they didn't wave their magic wand. It was a lot of work, but I think they learned a lot in the process.
Well, I'm sorry. I was just going to add, it was every Saturday we met, every Saturday. But it was enjoyable, very enjoyable. Well, we always had cookies.
Well, congratulations to each of you, and I hope we can do this again. Thanks. And again, it's Hampton Veterans Remember. The next song is for...